Thank you for coming to the second class of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part of the Bhakti Vaibhava study. Yesterday we started with an introduction to the course, what we will be doing throughout the year. It will be about 50 lessons, and mostly I'll be the main speaker, but then some other teachers may speak some other times. And I may ask even some students at some point to do a presentation. We'll see how it flows the course. The time is condensed, that's why we're starting right away. Yesterday we discussed also the preface, and we started to discuss verse number one. Today we will continue with verse number one, and sing and start discussing verse number two. This is part of the prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first three verses are very important, are the prelude, and this prelude, practically speaking, includes everything. Srila Prabhupada explains, practically speaking, everything. The whole Krishna conscious philosophy is included in these three verses. So these are very important verses to study scrutinizingly each section of the purport. And therefore we were discussing yesterday how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur lectured on the first verse between 1 to 3 months, which indicates its importance. So let's read again verse number one. How many of you have the Sanskrit there? So we can sing it once, maybe all together, whoever can follow. We can do it at the unison, at once. Janmadhyasya yaton vayat itaratash charteshu apikyasvarat tenne brahma reda yadi kavaye muyantiyat suraya tejo vari mridam yatavini mayo yatra trisargo mrisha damnasvena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dimahi. Srila Prabhupada's translation, and we will read the first paragraph of the long purport. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. And in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada comments on the Om Namo Bhagavate invocation, referring to Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, who took birth, the unborn took birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudev means also, in a more personal way, the son of Vasudeva. Purport. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Vasudev directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Sri Vyasadev asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise named Brahma Samhita. In the Samaveda Upanishad, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead, and this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudev indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead, and all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudev are indicated in this text. The name Vasudev particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. Yesterday we discussed briefly the eight different points found in this verse. Of course, they could be subdivided and we could find more points, but we could say eight major statements found in the verse. And we can go through them and discuss them a little bit more. And if you have any questions or points you would like to discuss in regard to yesterday's verse, please express it as we go through the discussion. Okay? So the first point is mentioned in the invocatory prayer, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Krishna is the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who took birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He is the source of all incarnations. That's basically the first point. And throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be studying this major statement. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also in this first canto, we will find the Paribhasha Sutra, which is the essential statement, essential verse or thesis statement of the whole Bhagavatam. And in some way, already with this invocatory prayer, that statement has been made in a preliminary way, but in a very clear way. A monist or impersonalist cannot touch or properly comment on the Bhagavatam. It becomes very difficult for them to comment in an impersonal way when this immediate statement, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, is made. For example, Srila Prabhupada explains in many places that the Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, or the essential text of Vedantic philosophy. And it starts in a similar way, Janmadi Asya Yataha. The Vedanta Sutra is a scripture very much used by impersonalists, by monists, to propagate the philosophy of undivided oneness. There is only one entity, and that entity is Brahman. That's the topic of Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the time to investigate, to research on Brahman, on the Supreme Truth. And then the question will be raised, what is Brahman? That will be the natural question. We are supposed to search for Brahman. What is Brahman? And the answer is given in the second sutra, Janmadi Asya Yataha. Brahman is the origin of everything and everyone. This is Brahman. In the Chandogya Upanishad, if I remember correctly, it's that Upanishad, or one of the main Upanishads, we find the mantra, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. But this statement should be properly understood, properly qualified. Can we say we are the origin of everything? With ownership? It is not real. We are Brahman according to the explanations of Vaishnavacharyas, because Brahman, the original Brahman, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, expands himself in multiple energies. And we are one of those multiple energies of Brahman. Therefore, we are Brahman. And therefore, we find that it is qualified in scripture. Sometimes Param Brahma, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna addresses Krishna in the 10th chapter, after he realizes the supremacy of the Lord, he addresses him as Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Truth. You are the Supreme Abode, the Supreme Purifier. In order to make a distinction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Brahman, and the emanations or the sparks of that supreme fire, that metaphor is used sometimes. There is a difference between the fire and the sparks. The sparks tend to separate from the fire. The sparks are also fire, but depend on the fire in order to sustain their very fiery existence. Similarly, we depend on Krishna in order to maintain our spiritual nature alive. Alive means conscious. We are in the Krishna consciousness movement, so we need to be conscious. Krishna conscious. Understand the origin. So the question here is, if we take this verse, what is the definition? What title will you give to that verse? If we take the whole verse, yesterday we discussed. Say that you will have to give a title to this verse, because it's a very long verse. So what title will you give? I'm sure you can give many titles, but you can say some. What title will you give? What is it, this verse? If somebody says, what is the first Bhagavatam verse, what it is about? Madhu Gopal Prabhu? Krishna is the origin of everything good. Good, that's good. That's especially for devotees. Any title for non-devotees? What is the absolute truth? What is the origin of everything good? Any other? The ultimate source of everything good? Yesterday we also mentioned a definition of God. This is a definition of God. Very clearly, very precisely explained. And there are different elements. The invocatory prayer is God is Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we enter into the verse proper, God is the origin of everything, the sustenance and the end of everything. The beginning, the middle, beginning, middle, and end of everything. Chanmadi Asya Yataha. Then other key words in these verses are, in this verse, sorry, is abhikya. What it means, abhikya? All knowing, very good. All knowing, Prabhupada says, fully cognizant. And Srila Prabhupada gives an example. The example of the chief engineer of a macro project, a very complex construction, knows everything, every corner of that construction project. He's conscious directly and indirectly of every aspect of that construction. For example, the architect or the chief architect of the temple of Vedic Planetarium in Sridhar Mayapur must know everything about the construction if he's doing properly the job. Of course, there are some differences there, but that's a mundane example so that we are able to relate to it. So similarly, Krishna, being the origin of everything, he knows every corner of what is happening within his creation. He knows what's happening within the heart of every jiva, every soul, and also within every body, every living body, and also within every atom of creation. So he's fully conscious. Then we can say, if we compare ourselves to that, if we look at it from the perspective if we compare the personalist perspective, the devotional perspective, we are servants, eternal servants of God, to the Mayavadi conception, I am God, then we can look at each of these elements. Are we that? Are we the origin of everything? Jamadi Asyayataha? No, we are not. Are we apikya? Are we fully cognizant? No, we are not. We are conscious of our own body, of ourselves to a certain extent, Svarat, that's another important element, what it means, Svarat, independent, totally independent. He can do whatever he likes. He is God within the womb of his mother. The devatas came to offer prayers to Lord Krishna while he was in the womb. He was a so-called embryo, we could say. But it's just an embryo. How you can, you're worshipping an embryo. Yes, he is God. The devatas could recognize him by his inspiration. And then when the demoness Putana came to kill him, when Putana is the first demon who attacked Krishna, the first asura sent by Kamsa, then the little baby Krishna, he was God. And she could perceive that. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains that when Putana saw baby Krishna, she could see this baby can destroy the whole universe. She could perceive to a certain extent his Jamadi Asya Yataha. From the demonic point of view, they are fearful of destruction. That's the Asuric mentality. Fearful of losing everything. Thinking that this material so-called reality is the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality. So she thought, he can destroy everything. And Krishna just closed his eyes to tell her, don't worry, everything will be okay. I have something nice prepared for you. So Krishna is God. Prabhupada explains, Krishna is God when he is in the womb of his mother, he is God. When he's a little baby, he is God. When he appears as a little Brahmana dwarf, Vamana, he is God. In every circumstance, he is God. So this means Svarat. He is supremely independent. Then the question to ask, what about us? Are we independent? We cannot even control the functioning of our own bodies. Many times the body doesn't function. It's broken. We cannot directly control it. We cannot control the functioning of our own minds. We try to control the mind, but the mind is like the wind. What to speak of so many other things that happen around us, produced by nature, by other people. So many examples we could give of how we are not independent. Then, another important statement is Tenne Brahma Rida Yadi Kavaye. What is that? Tenne Brahma Rida Yadi Kavaye. Yes, the Lord enlightened Lord Brahma, the Adi Kavi, the first, the original being, the first living being. The first sage, he was the first tapasvi. He performed austerity in order to understand what was happening around him, to understand where the source of darkness and the source of his very being and the source of the lotus flower, the cosmic lotus, on top of which he was sitting, who was the source of everything he could perceive. And it was Krishna who enlightened him from within his heart. Rida. Tenne Brahma Rida. From the heart, the Lord spoke to him. Similarly, from the heart, the Lord can speak to us and is speaking to us. He is known as the Chaitya Guru, the Guru of the heart. But then, the next statement, Muyanti Yat Suraya. What is that? Muyanti Yat Suraya. He bewilders the demigods, good. So by him, even the great personalities, the devatas, are bewildered. They control different sections of the universal affairs. Just imagine if you will be able to control the rain here in Belgium. What will you do? You could make sunny days, right? You could do so many things. Imagine if you were able to control the sun, the wind. Can you imagine that? But then even such great personalities with tremendous power are bewildered by Krishna. For example, Indradev was bewildered when, during the Govardhan Lila, when Krishna decided to teach him a lesson and to show him that actually you think the ingredients, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are offering you for the Yagya belong to you, but actually they belong to me. And as a child, I'm going to show it to you. As the child God, Krishna asked his father, please give me, this is better to use it for the worship of Govardhan Hill. Later on, Krishna revealed, and Govardhan is none different from me, and for the worship of the Brahmanas and the cows. This is the best use of the ingredients destined for Indradev. He doesn't really understand who is the ultimate proprietor. And we find many, many examples in the scripture in which devatas were bewildered by the Lord. Can you think of any other? Lord Brahma, yes. Yes, the Brahma Vimohana Lila. Brahma kidnapped Krishna's friends and calves, and then Krishna taught him a lesson. Even Brahma, who was enlightened, was bewildered. So that's the potency of Krishna. Krishna can make anyone fallible at any time. Can you speak loudly? Good. That's another type of bewilderment. But Narada Muni felt wonder at seeing Krishna's power, doing so many activities in different places in Dwarka, in each palace, a different activity. Very good example. Even Lord Shiva, the greatest of ascetics, in many times he's referred as such. Yogis take shelter of Lord Shiva. He's very powerful. Parvati Devi, in some sense, didn't agitate him. There are some occasions in which, yes, it happened. But generally, it didn't happen. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. But Lord Shiva was bewildered by Mohini Murti, the female form of God. So we see so many examples. Muyanti Yat Suraya. The demigods are bewildered. What to speak of us, terrestrial beings? We live in the world of the mortals. The demigods sometimes are referred to as Amara or immortal because they live for such a long span of life that is for us is inconceivable. So what to speak of the mortals, how much more bewildered we are. And then an example is given. Tejo vari mridam yatavini mayo yatrat sargo mrisha. What is that example? Fire in water. It's actually water seeing in fire. And Jamasami Prabhu this morning, we had a little discussion on that because he was expressing how is it normally you see water on the land, but in how is it in fire? And then we discussed how actually in fire means should be hot land, not any land. But we hallucinate, the mirage is seeing what, when there is too much fire. It's too hot, too much teja. Then we see water. Even sometimes driving in a very hot 40 plus degrees Celsius day, driving, we see the road, very long, isn't it? We have the best driver in the community, Pandu Vijay Prabhu. He's a senior diver. Isn't it? When it's hot, you don't see it too often in Belgium, but when you see it, you see water sometimes on the road, like looks like water. It's like it's an illusion. We know it's an illusion, but it seems like if water was there and was evaporating. Also the animals, they are in the desert, they are lost, very thirsty because so much fire, they need water. And therefore they run in search of the mirage, in search of the happiness of the self in the material world. But they die, Prabhupada says. They die while running. Because happiness is not, true happiness is not found in this material world. We need to go beyond the material world in order to find true happiness. We need to connect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that example is given, the mirage. This material world, due to him, is due to the origin, due to Krishna, the material world seems to be real, although it is unreal. Unreal in the sense that it is temporary. As Krishna's energy is real, but the impressions, the manifestations, are unreal, such as a dream, such as a mirage, or land seen on the water. That will be another type of mirage. When somebody is lost, like a big boat sunk in the ocean, the person is waiting for someone to rescue him and has a little safe boat. You call it like that, safe boat, like little boat. It's trying to be safe and searching for land. And at some point, when the person is very, very thirsty, very, very eager to return to the land, we'll see land. But there is no land. He's in the middle of the ocean. So we see the spiritual world in material enjoyment, but it's not the spiritual world. It's an hallucination. We need to go beyond that in order to really experience the reality. So then, te yovari mritam yatavini mayo yatrat sargo mrisha damna svena sadani rasta kuhakam. Damna svena. What is that? Damnas vena sadani rasta kuhakam. Dam, what is a dam? Abode, the abode of the Lord. Sve, sva means his own. He is situated in his own transcendental abode. Sada means always. Always situated in his own transcendental abode. So he is immanent He is within everyone and within everything, sustaining everything, but yet he is beyond this material world. Therefore, Satyam Param Dhimahi. What is that? Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam Param. I meditate on the Supreme Truth, on the Absolute Truth. Param Supreme Satyam Truth Dhimahi. Prabhupada says, this is a Gayatri Mantra. It's a key word in the Gayatri Mantras. I meditate. It's a meditation. So, in whom we should meditate? We should meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who possesses all these characteristics. Any comments or questions on this? This is a very sutra explanation of the verse, considering Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's elaborate explanation and Srila Prabhupada's long purport. Yeah, adi means etc. or what comes next. So there is birth, then there is sustenance, then there is annihilation. The beginning, the middle, and end of everything. Also in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, in the second canto, we will study also, Krishna says, Aham evasame evagre nanyat yat satasat param paschat aham yate takcha yovashishyeta soasmi aham. Brahma, I am the origin. I am he who existed before everything existed, before you existed. Brahma, I am what he who you are seeing now. And I am the person who will remain after annihilation. So this is the position of Krishna. And therefore, he is worth of being worshipped. He is worth of taking shelter of. We should take shelter of him. Any other points? You mean arguments from a scripture, like from Shabda, or more empirical arguments? Prabhupada uses a very nice analogy, very good question, thank you for asking that. Srila Prabhupada uses a very good analogy in the purport. Talks about the Sputniks, the satellites. Human beings are setting up in the space, outer space, satellites, Sputniks, and there is an intelligence behind that. So similarly, if for the small imitation satellites there is an intelligence, there must be an intelligence taking care of putting in place all the satellites and planets in the cosmos. So that's a nice metaphor. If the reflection, the imitation, is produced by a person, then the origin, by logic, must be a person. Also another will be a very nice painting, like we see painting Krishna beautifully painted with his friends, his cowherd friends, and then the trees, the river, the lotus flowers. And if we appreciate, oh, what a nice painting, who made it? That's the natural question. Who painted it? So therefore, if the imitation has been produced by a person, by an artist, then naturally the origin must be also a person. Another argument will be that Satkarya Nama Vada explanation, that we find an effect because it's included in the origin, and the origin is also found in the effect. So, and the example is given for like olive oil. Olive oil is apparently, we see the olive and there is no oil, but the oil is there. So whatever, if we are persons, then the origin must be a person. The origin should not be less than its creation. Otherwise there will be a defect there. These are some metaphors. We could use more examples. We could do actually a whole exercise on that and have some group discussions and produce more examples that can be utilized for preaching. Maybe at some point we should do some workshops on the first canto. Maybe one day a week in the evening we could do a workshop section. Maybe if the Gita organizer agrees, and then we open it for those who want to come, and we can have group work on these topics of the verses we are discussing. That could complement the lecture in the morning because we are short of time. Last point before we sing the verse on the board. Good, very good, good example. Okay, let's sing text number two. Text number one is, as we discussed, the definition of the ultimate truth, or the ultimate truth, the origin of everything, Krishna, the origin of everything, etc. And text number two describes what is the Bhagavatam about? And sometimes when we want to emphasize something, we may say, this is not about that. So this is how the verse starts. This is not about the ordinary thing. This is not what normally people have. This is not about a little money. This is about unlimited money. More than money, but this is a material example. It's about unlimited. It's not about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. The meter is the same than text number one, so we can sing it, maybe three or four of us. I'll start, and then three of you can indistinctly lead. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo Nirmat saranam sataham. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parair Ishvara.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parair Ishvara.
Sadhyori Dhyavarudhyate Trakritibhi Shushrushupis Takshanat.
Dharma projita kaita vodra paramo.
Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parai Ishvara. Sadhyoritya Varudhyate Trakritibhi Shushrushubhis Takshana. Dharma projita kaitavo traparamo nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parai Ishvara. Sadhyoritya Varudhyate Trakritipi Shushrushubhis Takshanat. Dharma Pujita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parai Ishvara. Sadhyoridya Varudhyate Trakritibhi Shushrushubhis Takshanat. One more. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parai Ishvara. Sadhyoritya Varudhyate Trakritibhi Shushrushubhis Takshanat. Srila Prabhupada's translation, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth.
which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. We don't have time for an elaborate discussion on this verse, so what we will do next week, most probably, Sureshwar Prabhu will be here, and I need his confirmation, but he's teaching in Mayapur Institute, Bhagavatam, so he will be lecturing the next two lessons. Oh, that's on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm coming back on Thursday. Today we go to Germany for the European meetings. And then I'm going to Barcelona for an homage to a professor who helped very much the devotees there. So there is a personal relation with him. I think it should be there. So Sureshwar Prabhu will be lecturing on Wednesday. Sorry, yes, Wednesday and Thursday morning. And I'll ask him to do text number 2 and text number 3. So please do the reading for text number 2 and number 3. And then when I come back, soon after I'll provide those of you who are doing the assessment, I'll provide you with the handbooks for the self-study if you want to do the homework and so on. Or if anyone wants a handbook, even though is not sure about doing the assessment, we can discuss it. So please approach me if you want a handbook for self-study without committing yourself to the assessment. Just very briefly, I wanted to mention one point here. This is a definition of the topic of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is about the Supreme Truth, Vedyam Vastavam Vastu, the real substance. The real substance, the reality, the ultimate reality. And it's about pure love of Godhead, not about Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, but about the Panchama Purusharta, or the quintessence, or the fifth goal of life, pure love of Godhead. And as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta will say, here it says, what is the need of any other scripture? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made a statement to emphasize the importance of the Bhagavatam, that if all the books in the world will be burned to ashes, that's a very heavy statement, especially for a college and for a college principal to say. But this is stated by the living encyclopedia Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. If all the books of the world will be burned to ashes and only Srimad Bhagavatam will remain, there will be no lost. No lost. No lost. Because if we have the Bhagavatam, we have the essence of life. And then the Bhagavatam teaches us how to use everything in Krishna's service. Then other books could be produced in Krishna's service. We could restart and clean all the whole mess of literature that has been produced and have true enlightening books connected to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore this is emphasized here, the word atra is three times, if you look at the screen, atra paramo, atra, atra vastu, shivadam, atra krittibhi. Atra means herein, in the Bhagavatam. When something is repeated three times, hearing, this is the book, this is the book, this is the book. Srimad Bhagavatam is the book. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nittai Gaur Premanande.